hearings. We appreciate the fact that you're here this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in this process. I can assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on any given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, I'd like to refer you to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the chairman stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meetings to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings and follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a telephone, BlackBerry, iPad, iPod, iTouch, whatever, please switch it off or turn it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and the director will review the application and describe any agency comments that's been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person come to the podium, identify themselves, and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from the applicant or the audience that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will ask the appropriate person if necessary. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. Also, individuals supporting or opposing an application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. Our first public hearing is conditional use number 1901, Christopher Lopez.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for an automobile service and repair garage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dykesboro 100, Sussex County, a parcel containing 14,613 square feet, more or less, lying northeast of U.S. Route 113, 1,420 feet south of Road 321, also known as Wood Branch Road. We have received a couple comments on this application. We also received the exhibit booklet, which has been provided to the Planning and Zoning Commission. That exhibit booklet was received on June 13th of 2011 and contains a description of the project team, the qualifications of Pannoni Associates, Mark H. Davison, Douglas D. Berry, and R. Stephen McCabe, a color rendering of the site plan, a copy of the application form, copy of the deed and a survey, copy of the site plan, copy of an email to DelDOT, references to the developing areas from the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan 2008 update, copies of the future land use plan from the update, series of aerials and maps, copy of the site evaluation report for a replacement septic, and some suggested proposed findings of fact and conditions of approval. We did receive comments from DelDOT. They were dated December 21st of 2010, and they were in letter form, and they had attached support facilities report that was dated December 9 of 2010, which referenced that the department does not recommend a traffic impact study, that the property is located adjacent to U.S. Route 113 and is subject to the corridor capacity preservation program, that the intent of the program is to maintain capacity of the existing highway, that the state strategies reference that the site is located in a level 4 investment area, where state policies will encourage the preservation of a rural lifestyle and discourage development. That the program states that no new or expanded direct access to U.S. Route 113 will be permitted in a Level 4 investment area, and that the department will not permit an entrance for commercial use at this site. Now, there's an email in the exhibit booklet, which you've probably already read. It references a request that DLDOT support involvement with negotiations with the landowners of the adjacent property to the south so that the applicant can develop his property in accordance with code. And there's, to my knowledge, there's been no receipt or response reported. We also received comments from the County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Those comments were received on June 21st of 2011 in the form of a memorandum. And that memorandum references that the site is located in the North Coastal Planning Area, that an on-site septic system is proposed, that conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study will be required, that the proposed project is not in an area where the county currently plans to provide sewer service, and therefore a concept plan is not required. And gentlemen, that's all I have. Unless you have questions, I've received no additional comments from any individual or agency to date.
All right, sir, we thank you. Before we begin, is there anyone here with a particular interest in this application? The applicant has exhibits up here that are going to be very difficult for you to see from where you're sitting. So please feel free to get up, walk up to the easel, take a closer look. We'd appreciate it that you do it quietly and not have a meeting while you're there, but you're certainly welcome to get up, take a look at what's being presented. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Davidson, or who am I recognizing?
Thank you. And good evening. For the record, my name is Douglas D. Berry. I'm a professional engineer for Pannoni Associates, 18072 Davidson Drive in Milton. I've been a professional engineer registered in Delaware for 9 years now. I've been practicing land development for 16. However, this is my first run with the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, so
we'll try to take it easy on you then.
Yeah, I was going to say, take it easy on the new kid. But thank you for hearing our application here tonight.
Yeah, I'm only one of five, though. I'm going to warn you.
As Mr. Lank stated, this is an application for a conditional use located in an AR1 zoning district for an automotive service and repair garage. Hearing booklets were submitted to Planning and Zoning Department on the 13th of June. I did want to note that we missed a tab in the hearing booklet. There should be a tab titled Comprehensive Plan after the DLDOT tab, which separates the correspondence. So I apologize if that was confusing. The subject property is approximately a third of an acre in size and located on the north side of U.S. 113, just south of the incorporated limits of the town of Georgetown. It is zoned AR1, and there is an unoccupied dwelling on the property. A wetlands evaluation was performed, and there are no wetlands on the site. The site is also not impacted by the 100-year floodplain. What our client wishes to do is convert the existing dwelling into a 1,650-square-foot two-bay vehicle repair facility with a small 215-square-foot office up front. Five parking spaces are proposed in support of the site plan. There's four here and one handicap-accessible parking spot right there. In order to construct a commercial entrance in accordance with DLDOT regulations, which requires it be 24 feet wide, a portion of the existing dwelling has to actually be demolished. I'd like to offer the following finding of facts that are in the zoning booklet, but I do want to enter them into the record here tonight. Okay. As previously stated, this is an application for conditional use located in an AR1 district for an automotive service and repair garage. Mr. Lopez, the property owner, will be performing specialized and certified computerized auto repair work and diagnostic testing. I'm not privy to what that entails, but it sounds pretty heavy. There are many other existing commercial uses in the vicinity of the project. We've highlighted in yellow the commercial uses along the corridor here. In fact, the property is located directly between the Georgetown Speedway and another commercial operation subject of conditional use approval, which is titled Underground Locating Services right here. And if it would please the commission, I'd like to pass out exhibits of this because that wasn't in our zoning booklet.
I'll ask you to submit it to our council, and council will have to decide whether or not we can accept it because you do have a 15-day rule. So.
Yeah, 10 days, but yeah.
And 10 days.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 10.
Let's make it 15.
Did I hear 15?
Yeah.
Okay. Just hand it up to you.
Yeah,
just,
I'm sorry.
No, just hand it up to our attorney there.
He does.
There you go.
Same thing as presenting anyway.
Yeah, it's the same thing that he's
presenting. Same thing as on the board? Oh, okay.
Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Right. Go ahead.
The property lies also within an investment level two for the strategies for state policies and spending. Also, in the hearing booklet, we didn't identify that it was an investment level four. However, upon further research, it is an investment level two, and we'll just have to blame that on GIS. You can't always rely on that. If necessary, I can circulate revised finding of facts, or you can simply cross out the level four and replace it with level two. It's up to you.
We have extra copies of this. If there's anybody in the public that wants to have one, we've got some up here. All right, so go ahead. Sorry.
No problem. Furthermore, the site is within a developing area as defined in the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Water service to the facility will be provided from an on-site well that will be permitted by DENREC. Sanitary sewer service to the facility will be provided from an on-site wastewater disposal as permitted by DENREC. And there is an approved site evaluation and design provided within the hearing booklet that was circulated to you. Entrance improvements will be constructed in accordance with DLDOT regulations. We do want to note that installation of this commercial entrance will impact the neighbor's entrance right here, and we're currently coordinating with DLDOT to move forward to see what the best way to address that situation would be. Furthermore, sediment and stormwater best management practices will be constructed in accordance with DENREC and Sussex Conservation District regulations. The conditional use will also be subject to preliminary and final site plan review and approval by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I also want to go on record tonight offering the following conditions of approval that Mr. Lopez has indicated to us. The hours of operation shall be from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturdays. There will be no Sunday hours. All storage areas and trash container units will be screened with a 6-foot high privacy fence and associated landscaping. All entrance and related improvements required by DLDOT will be completed by the applicant within the time period that's required. The site will have one non-illuminated on-premise sign that meets county requirements. Parking lot and security lighting will be provided and will have downward illumination such that illumination does not encroach over adjacent property lines. A landscape plan will also be provided as part of the final site plan. There will be no more than 5 cars on the site for servicing at any one time. There shall be no permanent storage of disabled cars on the site, and the uses shall be limited to automated services and repair only. In summary, we respectfully request recommendation of approval to County Council for this conditional use application. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have this evening.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions, and we'll start with Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to ask of our chairman, our director, a couple questions, Mr. Lank.
Go
ahead. Could you read that section from the letter from DLDOT about the entrance permit in the highway corridor zone?
What I read from was a copy of the facts that's in the booklet. Is that about the email or about the statement from DLDOT before the email?
About the statement from DLDOT about not having access.
Okay. Well, what I summarized it, basically. I'll read it again. Rather than read it all over again. No new or expanded direct access to U.S. Route 13 will be permitted in Level 4 investment area. That the department will not permit an entrance for commercial use at this site. The next thing was the email that was addressed from Pannoni representatives to DLDOT And it's the one in the exhibit booklet, which states that they request the Delta support involvement with negotiations with the landowners of the adjacent property to the south so that the applicant can develop his property in accordance with the code, and no response has been received or reported.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Council, first of all, this is a deeded piece of land whose sole access is on that highway. Is that correct? Am I right?
That's correct. Sir? That's correct.
Okay. I have some concerns whether DelDOT could actually do what they're suggesting, because you cannot deny somebody access to a public road from their piece of real estate. I mean, I'm just wondering what you think about that.
So what, I'm going to reserve judgment on that because I want to see the letter that Mr. Lank got and look some more into
that,
it.
I just find that very surprising that they would make a statement like that. Found it very surprising.
And I want to say, you know, I'm not sure that DelDOT's saying that they're denying access, and more that they're denying commercial access. I don't know. I just want to look into it a little more.
I agree, but my contention would be that zoning is a decision that's made here. If that decision gets made, then it has to be observed by whoever else is interacting with that property. And if somebody buys that piece of property, they have to have access to a public road. That's all. I'm done.
If I may, I'd like to say that DelDOT letter said the property was an investment level 4. It's actually an investment level 2. So that might change the way they wrote that letter.
Well, I think it would make a big difference.
It would.
So which is it?
Which is it, level 4
it's
or level 2?
It's investment level 2.
Yep.
Okay. That would make sense. It's right.
That's right next to a racetrack, right next to another condition.
Yeah, I can't imagine how it would be level 4 anyway. What are they thinking of? Well, I rest my case.
All right, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
I'm sorry, sir.
I appreciate your input. Next question, Mr. Lank, would be with adjoining property. If I recall, that was a subject of a conditional use application in my recent years, and they withdrew their application.
No, it actually went to public hearing. It was approved for the underground cable. I can't remember the title of it. They did get approval.
They did get approval.
They're still there. They're still using the site. But, I mean, it was underground. I can't remember what it was called.
It's underground, locating services.
Oh, it's on this thing. Yeah. It's underground locating services.
Right. But that's an approved conditional use?
Yeah, I didn't any question because I remember it being approved. But I can pull that record for you so we can verify.
Because I thought that property also was the subject of a conditional use application in recent years, maybe since 2007.
Well, that's the same.
Is that the same one?
Yeah. Okay. That's the last one of the underground locating services.
Okay. They just haven't gotten final approval, apparently, because they don't have their entrance permit.
Yeah, it might have been the same statement on that one. I'm not sure, but we can check.
It was about the commercial entrance.
I think you might be right.
From DelDOT.
That's so. Carter Preservation.
That's why I thought perhaps they withdrew their application. So I stand corrected. All right. Sorry, sir. I didn't mean to get off on your neighboring property, but obviously it does have an impact on you.
Absolutely.
I do have a couple questions for you in terms of the plan that I see proposed. One of the things you talked about was having up to 5 cars. Where would those up to 5 cars plus any employees' cars be located?
I'd be happy to answer that. There's a section.
There's 4 spaces here. There's 1 handicap accessible space here. Employee would park here, and there's 2 garages to service the vehicles inside the structure.
Okay, so the 5 up to 5 cars, 2 of them may be located inside then.
Right, so really you can say 7, but the 2 will be used for vehicle repair.
And how many employees are being proposed for this project?
right now one, but he foresees maybe a maximum of three if things work out.
Where would you propose the dumpster be located? I assume there's some waste products that come as a result of repair work.
Right. The best location will probably be in this vicinity between the handicap, the van accessible space, and the other parking space. There's really nowhere else to put it. So we could...
It's tough to see. We came off here and just kind of put a radius in, a 10 by 12 dumpster area. That would probably be the best location for it.
And the portion of the property to the left where I see the two trees, that's where the current entrance is to the property.
Correct.
I'm assuming you're not proposing any parking there.
That's correct. That's an existing drive into a garage because it is a dwelling unit right now.
Right.
That's going to be abandoned, and then this new commercial entrance proposed.
And you're going to take out part of the side of the building
right.
So that you can put the driveway in.
What you see marked with an X is the portion of the dwelling that's going to be taken off.
Okay. Now, I also noticed on your, you might want to pull up your other display there of your survey. There's a notation on there about the existing fence. There's partially encroaching. Is that their fence or your fence?
That's a good question. I forgot to mention that the property owner is here, Mr. Lopez, and he might be able to answer that better than me. That is your fence?
Sir, if you're going to testify, I need you to come up and introduce yourself, please. And then you may have the floor.
How are you? Yeah, my name is Christopher Lopez, and that fence is my neighbor fence.
Okay.
That's where I came. I bought the property. The fence already was there.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then the other notation I see on your record was about getting DENREC approval about the variance for the water versus the septic system. Has that been obtained?
The intent is after the conditional use approval to go back, get preliminary, then go to the agencies, get their approvals, and then come back for final. So that would be requested through DENREC after preliminary site plan approval.
Okay. What about stormwater management?
Stormwater management quantity waiver is going to be requested due to a reduction in impervious surface. There was an old poultry house at the back of the property that's been removed, so they're going to allow us to use that as a credit of pre-development impervious, and so our proposed impervious is less, so we can get a waiver from quantity. We foresee water quality BMP, such as an underground storm tech chamber, which is just an arch pipe on stone with a wrap in it. So we'll work out those fine details with the Conservation District.
So what I'm hearing is that with the credit that you're going to apply for with the removal of the old chicken house, you're hoping to have less than 5,000 square feet of disturbance.
Well, there will be 5,000 square feet of disturbance, so we'll need to do the sediment stormwater application. As part of that, we'll request a waiver from the quantity control requirement, but we do have to do quality control, and that's why we're going to propose underground piping.
Does the property slope towards the highway or away?
Both, but mostly it drains away from the property. The high point is kind of in the middle of the dwelling unit.
Right. I have no further questions at this point, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton.
Is there parking in the side yard setback? Is that the line that I'm seeing that's incorporating two of the spots? I see a dotted line that says side yard setback, and it looks like it on the other side. Midway through your parking lot. Up, move your finger right there.
Yeah, that's for the building, not necessarily the parking. And the part of the building that's within the setback would be removed anyway to the entrance.
Okay, so there's really no buffer at all between this proposed use and the AR1 that's next to it?
That's correct. Between the drive aisle and the property line, there's only about a foot and a half. It's the only way we could get the 24-foot wide commercial entrance in while still allowing the property owner to have a facility that he could utilize.
Is there any side yard setback requirement?
The side yard setback on that parcel, since it's AR1, is 10 foot because it's undersized lot. on both sides, 20 on the rear and 40 on the front.
Right. I think what you're referring to is a parking setback, and I think what Mr. Lank is referring to is a building setback, and there are no parking setbacks, if I'm correct on.
It's subject to site plan review. There is a reference to a 5-foot parking setback on the side yard, but that's only reference to home occupations.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Just one question. This might be premature, but just thinking if this application was forwarded with a recommendation and acted on positively, sometimes facilities like this have a need for wrecker service. Mr. Lank, would that be something that, hypothetically, I hate to speak that way, would that be subject of a new application, or would that come back as a amended condition of approval to operate a wrecker service out of a...
If he had a wrecker that's associated with his auto repair, it really isn't an issue. He can't have a wrecker service where he's going to create impound.
I see.
Without going to public hearing again.
Does Mr. Lopez have a wrecker that is associated with his vehicle repair?
Yes, sir.
Does he anticipate purchasing one?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. That's all I have. Thank you.
All right, sir. Mr. Ross.
Mr. Lank, just to confirm, the front setback is 40 feet from the state easement. Is that correct?
Under AR zoning, right.
And I guess when I went out to the site, it seems like, and I kind of did my striding, which it's been years since I was in the military, but they teach you how to do that so you don't get lost in some foreign place, but you get lost anyway, trust me. It seems to me like the house, the building that's there, is very close to Route Run 13. And I guess my question is, you know, via conditional use, you know, do we need to bring this up to code and have the setback where it's supposed to be?
It's approximately 8 foot by the survey.
8 foot from the easement?
Existing.
And on code, it's supposed to be 4?
Actually, let me see. That says proposed. That's where the office is proposed, but I think that doesn't that already exist?
Yeah, the existing dwelling is 8 feet from the right of way, and the proposed structure is also going to be 8 feet. So it's an existing nonconformity that we're not going to be worsening. We're just going to maintain the nonconformity.
Right. I understand. I'm just wondering if that's something that should be corrected while we're at this or not, or to what degree. That whole corridor is, under examination and more studies, and I don't know how many millions of dollars the state has spent studying, you know, how to make that corridor work for traffic. And, you know, at some point, who knows, they may want to purchase easements or whatever, and so that's the reason for our ordinance of having setbacks of 40, so that there's some flexibility in not having to buy buildings and move buildings.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering, you know, if it's our responsibility to make sure that we bring something into conformance at this juncture or not.
If it was required to bring it into conformance, it would have to get a variance from the Board of Adjustment through public hearing process.
Or move the building
pre-exist, but it's a residential structure.
Yeah, the use is being changed.
That's the question,
you know, and I don't, you know, I don't like the idea of putting undue burden on people or property owners, but still, that's Route 113, and that's an issue that, you know, I think that we need to think about, and I don't know what the solution is. No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Lank.
No question.
Council?
No questions.
Thanks. All right, then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1901, Christopher Lopez? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1901? Yes, sir. Come on up. Give us your name, and you may have the floor.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Alton Stacker. I'm at 24497 DuPont Boulevard, the property adjoining Mr. Lopez.
Okay.
Mr. Langford, that number is 1763 for me. I've got a couple concerns. I met with Mr. Lenny Masati and Mr. Sapp in Dover on Tuesday to go over the entrance planning. What my concern is I'm going to be losing part of my driveway. I've got to move my fence. They're asking to move my fence. And I understand that DOT really isn't anything to do with this board, but I just want to express That's my fine. Concerns to you.
Okay.
They're going to be using the shoulder as a slowdown lane to turn into their driveway. That's going to be unsafe for my business. And I do agree that, you know, anybody in this economy that wants to open a business, more power to them. Great, I'm happy for them. But again, they're asking for me to give up part of my driveway, tear a section of fence down, and move my mailbox. The fence and the mailbox has been in an existing location since 1949. I don't know for a fact, but I understand that if I start sharing access to my property, then that means I've never got that access to me again. That is going to be a shared access from that point on. That's not a really good thing that I really agree with, and I express my concerns to DelDOT. Another concern was the fence. It's saying that it's encroaching on their property. When the fence was installed, we put a string line, Fences Unlimited, put a string line on each property corner. My fence was built 6 inches on my property from the existing property lines. So as far as moving any of that, I don't agree with it. The proposed building that is going to be done is going to be 27.7 foot from my house. That's going to be real close to running a business when I'm trying to sleep, and that's just going to be real close. Say, I don't agree with it, and it's, again, the quality of some of the things that I've seen. When the gentleman first moved in, he's clearing his property. Wonderful. But he hired uninsured, unlicensed people to do the work. One of the trees was dropped across my fence and on my house. 3 sections of fence had to be replaced. Granted, the gentleman did do it, but the foliage and the limbs from this tree landed on my house. That is a concern of mine. If right off the get-go we're going to hire uninsured, unlicensed people to do work, what kind of quality are we going to have on everything else? So, again, I appreciate you allowing me the time, but I did want to express my concerns of things that I foresee in the future. There is an existing driveway. To me, I'm sorry, but improper planning on somebody else's part shouldn't result in me having to lose my property, remove portions of my fence, and move my mailbox that, again, has been there since 1949. Those things I don't agree with. But like I say, there's not a whole lot that you, me, or anybody can do with DOT if they want to do it. But again, I have had a meeting with Mr. Masati and Mr. Sapp, and I'm going to have another meeting with them. They've got some information to take care of. I've got some information to provide to them, and we will go from there.
All right, sir. Is that in relationship to your entrance for your business?
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir. And again, my biggest concern is going to be they're going to have to use the shoulder of the road as a slowdown lane. Now, what if we're going to be running a business working on automobiles, what kind of business is going to be coming in and out of this one-third of an acre? Myself, my traffic, I have 5 vehicles come in the morning. I have 6 vehicles go out. Most of my vehicles are driven home by the employees. In the afternoon, approximately 4:30 to 5 o'clock, I have approximately 3 to 4 vehicles come in. They stay for about a half hour and leave. So, again, I'm not sure what kind of traffic he is going to be having come in, but that's going to be right in front of my property where it's going to be tying both of us up. DelDOT said that, you know, sharing the driveway, that it's going to be more paved into his yard than it is to mine. Where, like, again, that's not a concern of the board, but that's going to be restricting my access to provide him with access. So
your driveway, excuse me, but your driveway is on the south of your property, and Delta's talking about a combined access serving both parcels on the north side.
On the north side, I have a horseshoe driveway.
So you would then have to have basically like a little service road across your front to get to your shop.
That's correct.
Is that right? Okay.
Which, again, I'm going to end up having to pay for. And improper planning on somebody else's part shouldn't affect, in this economy, my finances. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time. Have a wonderful evening.
Yes, sir. I got a question?
Yeah.
A couple questions.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Okay, good.
Mr. Stack?
Yes, sir.
How do your employees slow down to enter your driveway?
They have to use the shoulder, but there is no businesses there. There's no buildings there. There is nothing but the creek that crosses right there. I believe it is what they consider the Dagsboro 100.
But your big utility trucks have to use the shoulder to slow down in order to enter your property?
The largest truck I have is a Chevrolet 3500 dually.
And how close are you to getting all your final approvals for your conditional use?
As far, I have all my conditional use approvals from the county. I went through the state, and I had them come out. They say they don't, in their exact words, sir. We cannot determine that a site plan and traffic warrants have ever been submitted and therefore do not have a valid entrance permit on file for your business. I filed all that with them. As they said, if I agree to everything they want, then they can then issue me a letter saying that I could have my conditional use, everything, as long as I give up my existing driveway and fence. So I'm having to go through the state with that to resubmit and go through that again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay.
Mr. Smith, you had a question?
I think Mr. Johnson answered them, but so as I understand, you've not been able to secure your commercial entrance from DelDOT from your conditional use application back in 2007.
No, sir. They come out. They did their traffic study, everything. I sent everything into the state, but they don't know where it's at.
I'm guessing that, what was it, that 1763 number was your CU number that you gave to Mr. Lang?
Yes, sir, it is.
And he'll probably look that up. Do you recall, was one of the conditions of your conditional use approval that you have a commercial, or the, excuse me, that you have a DelDOT approved entrance?
Yes, sir.
And you don't have it yet, but you are operating out of this location at the present time, and I guess have been for the last 4 years.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
And like I said, when I started all of this out, Mr. Lank helped me out. He gave me a list of exactly what I needed to do, and I followed that list to the T.
But you don't have final site plan approval at this point?
No, sir. I sent everything into him, but again, the state isn't sure where it is. But again, if I conform to exactly what they want, in their words exactly, based on the proposed configuration, DelDOT could then issue a letter of no objection for your conditional use and issue a permit for the existing driveway, as long as I agree. If not, then I'm going to have to go through the whole thing all over again with them.
I'll warn you, just as a piece of advice, you might have to end up going through the whole thing all over again if you don't have final site plan approval, because your conditional use is going to expire.
Yes, sir. That's why I'm going through Mr. Sapp right now to get things taken care of.
That's all the questions I have.
Anyone else? All right, sir. We thank you very much.
Gentlemen, again, thank you.
Indeed. Is there anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing is conditional use number 1902, Dorothy Garvey.
Good
an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for medical offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 22,161 square feet, more or less, lying north of Route 24, also known as John J. Williams Highway, 425 feet east of Route 275, also known as Plantation Route. For the benefit of the commission, I'm going to pass down copies of the survey and for this property. Survey shows the existing dwelling and areas to be set aside for parking. We have two agency comments, first one being from the Department of Transportation. In the form of a support facility report dated March 21st of 2011, makes reference to John J. Williams Highway from Plantation Road to the stoplight at Delaware Eye Center. The traffic impact study was not recommended. The current level of service of Route 24, John J. Williams Highway, is level of service E and will not change as a result of this application. The second comment is from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. In the form of a memorandum, the site is located in the south planning area, the West Rehoboth expansion area. Wastewater capacity would be available if the proposed use does not exceed two EDUs, which makes reference to an office of 2,000 square feet or less. The planning study assumption of the parcel is one EDU for the lot. The parcel is comprised of two lots. Ordinance 38 construction is not required. An on-site septic system is proposed. Sewer service is not available to the parcel at this time. The conformity to the North Coast Area Planning Study would be required, and it notes that the parcel is located within a planning area of the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. That Sussex County does not have a schedule to provide sewer service to the parcel at this time. Therefore, a concept plan is not required. Gentlemen, that's all the response I have to date on this application.
All right, sir, and we thank you. All right, so is there anyone here representing this application this evening?
Mr. Lang, Mr. Robertson, members of the commission. My name is Dave Wilson. I'm a licensed real estate agent with Long & Foster in Rehoboth. I specialize in commercial real estate, and I represent Dorothy Garvey, who is the executrix for this property, which is in the estate of Betty V. Taylor. When looking at the opportunity for this property, the highest and best use, obviously because of its location, would be for a conditional use. It's across from the BB Medical Center. It's surrounded by other commercial professional offices. And our request is for a conditional use as a medical office because of the close proximity to the BB Medical Center. We have had three very interested parties. I've had two offers. One is pending right now, all of which are based on the conditional use, and that's why we're here requesting your agreement.
All right, sir. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you. And Mr. Johnson, once again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the first time I've had a chance to look at this survey, and it immediately raises some questions for me. And Mr. Lang, a couple questions for you. I hate to keep grilling you tonight, but
all right, seems to be my day.
With driveways, what's the width of a driveway?
Typically 24 foot. This is serving one row of parking spaces, and then its commission has granted permission for it to be reduced.
Because I see on the corner of the building a 16.1-foot width for the driveway there, which are to the property line, so apparently the driveway looks like it might be closer to 12 feet. And then when you go back past the frame garage, the driveway narrows down to 10.3 feet.
Right.
I presume all that is not within the county ordinance requirements?
Not clear. The ordinance says 24. The commission has waived the requirement for one-way driveways. The way it's drawn, it appears that it would be an entry off of 24 and exit off of Collins Avenue, because you couldn't be running two cars down that width of a right-of-way.
Sir, is there currently an existing driveway that has access to Collins Avenue?
Yes, sir.
Has there been any discussion with DelDOT about entrance permits?
No. No, that Collins Avenue is maintained by the community. And I've had discussion with residents, in particular Joan Deaver, who owns three lots in Midway Acres. And her opinion is that for what we're asking, it should not represent a problem. They've had one problem there. At one time, somebody was running a business and the UPS trucks were going back and forth on Collins Avenue, and it created a problem for the residents, and they corrected that.
And Mr. Lank, back to you, sir. What's our front yard setback?
The front yard setback, again, this is AR zone. It would be 40 foot for a residence.
So looking again at this survey, it appears as though there's about 32 feet from the front yard to the corner of the building to start with.
Same as the other. Just recent application, it was pre-existing to the zoning requirements.
And Mr. Wilson, besides the medical complex across the street, can you share with the commission adjoining properties to yours that are currently being used for businesses, and which of those properties might have parking in the front yard setback?
I should have asked Mr. Robertson. Roberts. If I could pass these out, it gives a list.
Give him one. He'll tell us.
Just hand me one real quick.
Just hand him one real quick. He'll look at it. And if we're allowed to see it, we will. Mr. Lank, I have a question. While Mr. Robertson's looking that over, are these lots 9, 11, 13, are they part of a subdivision?
It's part of Midway Acres. The pre-existing subdivision prior to zoning, probably recorded in the 50s, late 50s, early 60s at the latest, before zoning was established in 68.
Are there commercial uses anywhere else on any of the other subdivision lots?
There was an application for the lot on the corner. That's the only one I can think of. There was an application for a right on the corner, and I can't remember if it was a beauty shop, or a pre-existing beauty shop, and they were proposing another use. It's a couple doors down from this. I don't know if it's noted on the, I have a copy of it. I got a copy of the site plan. Let me get a copy of the exhibit.
Do we know if Collins Avenue has been accepted into the state system, or is it a private road?
It's a private access road that goes out to Plantation Road. The parcel that I'm thinking of contains two parcels or two lots. It's on the corner of 24 and 275 Plantation Road, but I don't have the condition or the number of the application. Midway Acres on this portion of the tax map contains appears to be 15 lots that have numbers referencing on the site. I don't have that conditional use number, but it was, it's been many years ago when that was applied for. And I don't remember what that number is.
Mr. Wilson, are these lots part of Midway Acres?
Yes, they are.
And do you know if Midway Acres has any restrictive covenants that pertain to businesses?
No, sir.
Have you reviewed the restrictive covenants of the subdivision?
There are none.
There are none. Okay. Mr. Chairman, I don't have any more questions.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Wheatley, just to follow up on that question, Mr. Wilson, there's a rule on the Planning and Zoning Commission's rules of procedure that you have to have booklets like this in 10 days in advance.
I understand.
So, yeah, I think you probably have explained most of the stuff in here. So we're not going to allow the Planning and Zoning to come into the record. That doesn't mean you can't get it in for county council's hearing, because there's going to be a hearing at some point in front of county council.
19th July.
19th of July.
So you can get it in for that.
All right, Mr. Burton.
Mr. Wilson, what is 10 is actually in Midway Acres. Is that what?
Yes. 10 and 11.
Are they're part of it, and so is 12 and 13?
No. This parcel is basically comprised of two lots, 10 and 11, and in this booklet, it shows the other lots by number.
But 10 and 11 actually are part of Midway Estates.
Yes, they are.
And I guess I guess your plan is that the existing driveway would then there would be two parking spots up front, and then you would drive straight back along to parcel number 11 to existing driveway to park.
Yes, and then there are additional parking that's been laid out in the survey behind the detached garage.
And that's for customer parking or employee parking?
For both. There are 10 spots, 10 spaces.
Okay.
Hope they're not too sick, because that's kind of a long way to walk.
They'll get healthy from walking to the office.
Is there any plan to combine it into one lot, or are you going to keep it as two separate lots?
Well, that depends on the buyer. They would have that option.
But they would almost need the parking, wouldn't they?
Well, 10 for the medical office, small practice that we have in mind, 10 appears to be very adequate.
Mr. Lank, how many parking
spots? It's already combined.
So it isn't two lots?
It's two lots of record, but it's considered to be one parcel.
One parcel.
Okay.
It could be split if there was proposed for a residential use on both parcels.
And to further complicate the matter, you could draw a conditional use line within the parcel and confine the conditional use to just one section of the lot.
Be nice, Mr. Chairman,
even though you're parking in another lot.
Well, that's going to become the issue here, because it is in how this is, how it goes forward. I'm just letting you know what all of your alternatives are.
Okay, well, I appreciate that.
But it's a single parcel as far as tax purposes, assessment purposes,
yeah,
but it's actually two recorded lots, being lots 10 and 11 of Midway.
Okay. And, Mr. Lank, you mentioned there was one EDU for one lot and no...
No, it said it made reference to one EDU per lot.
Per lot.
Right.
We have two lots.
Right.
Okay. I have no further questions.
All right. Mr. Smith?
Yeah. Mr. Wilson, you said described it as a medical office. If everything went according to how you would like to see the outcome, so it's not a dental office, it's not veterinary, it would be medical.
That's right. Based on the offers that I've had and the one that's pending right now, it is a medical office.
And if you could just describe, give me an idea of the age of the existing one-story frame dwelling.
What I've been able to research indicates that it was built back in the 60s.
Okay.
68.
So it could be 40-plus years.
Yes.
As opposed to, what would you guesstimate to be the age of the BB Medical Center across the street?
Four.
Thank you. That's all.
Mr. Wilson, you said you have a contract offer, contracted offer on the parcel in the house.
That's right.
Can you supply the commission with a copy of that?
We haven't accepted it yet. I have an offer.
But you have an offer of record. It's signed, right? It hasn't been accepted. And one of the conditions of that offer is this conditional use process, correct?
That's right.
And can you provide that documentation to us?
Yes.
Would you, please, at some point?
If you want, we can hold the record open if you want to redact information in there. I don't know if there's, because there may be financial terms or whatever.
Yes, by all means, we can hold the record open, and you certainly are privileged to redact anything that you don't wish to have in the record.
We just received it. We're in the process of countering.
And I'm not interested in the financial numbers. It's just that if this was a whole new application with a blank piece of property, well, then okay, you're planning on building something. This is really a change in use of an existing property. And sometimes people are less than genuine, and they're just trying to add value to the sale of their property and have really don't care about the change in use. And it would be nice to have that verifies it's not speculative in nature.
I'll provide it.
If this was my property, it's two going into Midway Acres. It would solve a lot of problems, for me at least, if you just simply got Midway Acres to agree that you could, you know, if you got your conditional use, the access to Collins Avenue, and then eliminate the access to John Williams Highway, and it would solve, then the house would, that line of John Williams Highway would become a rear setback and not a front setback, and so you'd be conforming with the setback. And you wouldn't have a traffic issue running on Plantations Road, which is, to say the least, less than ideal.
That's why I was asking. On Route 24, you mean?
Yes, on Route 24. I mean, there's virtually no left turn entrance. You know, anybody that's coming east has to go up to somewhere and turn around. And at least that's what I had to do. And so it just eliminates a lot of headaches if that would be the case. And then you'd have one conditional use on the whole two lots. It would all access Collins Avenue. It would be less of an issue with DelDOT and entrance and traffic, and it would probably be better for the Midway Acres as well. I mean, why not have a doctor's office right there in your development? That's an amenity almost. You know, so I would see where that would benefit everybody. But that's not the way this is laid out, so I guess this is what we have to deal with. But again, I'm concerned about consistency in how we apply our decisions. And again, we're dealing with a front setback that's non-conforming, and that's fine. If it doesn't change use, I don't really have a problem with that. But when we have a change in use, then we have to start thinking about, well, why do we have the setbacks in our ordinance? What's the reason for it? And if we're going to grant this change in use, shouldn't we try to figure a way to get it conforming? And in this case, we didn't have to move the building as long as you can demonstrate access to Collins Avenue. You know, it would just become conforming because you would lose the entrance on Plantations Road, but you have and it becomes a rear setback. You see what I mean? So I guess that's just an editorial comment from my perspective, Mr. Chairman. No further questions.
Answer, Mr. Lang.
No question.
Council.
No questions, but just to follow up with Mr. Ross, one of the reasons that offer would be helpful is that historically the commission has kind of taking a hard look at speculative change in zones. I think like Mr. Ross or somebody else started to talk about, you know, value enhancements. But if there's an offer that's been made that shows that, you know, this specific use has been sought for this property, that may help, you know, with the record. You know, because usually what we see is we've got a doctor that's got a property under contract who's come in for the conditional use or the change in zone or owns it or whatever, you know. So we need to make sure that we're consistent on that. So that's why that documentation would be helpful. That's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Lang, I want to ask you, I seem to remember, and it's been a long time ago, and that's why I'm asking you, because I may not be remembering correctly. I was under the impression that we sort of, as a policy, were not allowing conditional uses in private subdivisions. And if Collins Avenue is a private subdivision street, then that raises some concern. But I might be mistaken. That's why I'm asking you. I might be mixed up with some other rule. So
we had, I'm pretty sure I'm right, within the last year in the same subdivision on the other side of Plantation Road, that silk screening business was on the corner lot of the subdivision with frontage on to 24. It didn't have frontage on private street, but it was an access.
Right.
To
I think, yeah, to me.
It was in a minor subdivision.
Right.
Or a standard subdivision.
Right. The issue is Collins Avenue, not 24. 24, I understand. 24 is a public road.
Right, it is.
And Collins Avenue, however, is a private street, probably never designed to anticipate commercial traffic. The residents that live on that street probably never anticipated commercial traffic. I'm not saying that it can't be done. I'm just saying that I don't think that access from Collins Avenue is a good idea.
There was a reference earlier, and I can't say if it was approved without doing some research, but there was an application for another silk screening business, embroidery business, that was on the end of Collins Street. They relocated to another site up on Muncie Branch Road a few years later, but that, I believe, was approved, and it's on the same street. That's where the issue in question was raised by UPS trucks, et cetera. And that was on the north side.
I remember this.
On the north side of Collins Road.
I remember this coming up in a subdivision on off of Middle Ford Road 10 years ago, probably.
No, I'm not saying it's not. I'm just trying to reference something.
It was an interior street in a subdivision, and I thought I remembered Jack telling me that we just didn't do that, but. And I could be mistaken.
I just used that one as a reference because it's in the same subdivision.
Yes,
and
I agree.
The second one I used was in the same subdivision also, but I can't remember the outcome, whether it was approved or whether it was denied, because it was both existed before they were approved.
Yeah, right.
And in this case, it applied before.
Right. My own concern is with Collins Avenue not having anticipated being essentially a public thoroughfare like Route 24 is.
I understand. I'm just trying to reference something somewhere.
I'm just glad I'm so young I don't have to remember all that.
Well, that's what happens when you've been here a while. you just keep sitting there. It'll happen to you, too. Okay. Thank you, sir. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1902, Dorothy Garvey? Yes, sir. Come on up.
My name is Lawrence Kemp, MD, and I am a neurologist currently in practice in Lewis. I live in Harbison. And I am probably the offer that they're talking about.
At least you're hoping you are.
I hope so. I didn't know if I was going to be talking tonight, but based on what just happened, I thought maybe it would be helpful to you all. I'm a solo practitioner neurologist, currently renting a space, looking to purchase my own space. Just found out about the space last week, have been to look at it, and I am very interested in the change in use for medical office. I think it has a great potential for working for what I need. Some of the issues you brought up were quickly pointed out by me as well when I first went there, as far as the parking being so far back. But I have been through the house. The layout works well. I see it approximately 15 to 18 patients over the course of, you know, an 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. day. I currently only have one employee. My current office space is only 1,000 square feet. Before that, I was in an 800 square foot office. So I anticipate maybe getting a second employee, if I actually have room for one. But there's the way the house is laid out, it works very well for a handicap ramp. The interior layout works very well for the flow of a small practice. The way I envisioned it was that the entrance from 24 would be the entrance, and then people would exit out on Collins Avenue. Because of the narrow driveway, I agree, you really need one-way traffic. The other thing is I run a neurology practice, so I do have patients in wheelchairs. I do have patients with walkers, and having them park in the back of the property really doesn't work. So just in going through the, you know, looking at the site, getting some ideas with contractors to do a fit-out, basically the two proposals were as far as the separate building, basically bulldoze, get that, demolish that, and make parking up closer to the building. Alternatively, have parking going across behind. We did not have access to where the current septic system is located, so that kind of affects, obviously, the parking issue. We actually did speak to the neighbor next door who expressed a great interest in having a doctor's office in the neighborhood, and was seemed excited about it.
You never know when you're going to need a neurologist.
Right. They've talked. So, and I don't have a, you know, I don't have a huge practice with a lot of traffic. At most, I have one person in the waiting room while I'm seeing one. Maybe there's a second person. That's about it. And there is a two-car garage. So as far as employee parking, we could use two of those spaces in the garage. So that would be, you know, two less, you know, there wouldn't be the need for the employee parking. So I didn't know if that helped, but there is a genuine interest for this. So
well,
that was the main reason I wanted to talk.
That's good, and we're glad you did. We're glad you spoke up, because I think it clarifies some of the issues that Mr. Ross was concerned about, and that our council spoke to. So we appreciate very much the fact that you kind of came forward and spoke with us. I do want to tell you that the basic issue before us this evening is whether or not this site is appropriate for the use that's being proposed. It's not really about the site plan.
Right, okay? I understand.
However, I'm going to tell you, this is a terrible site plan, okay? You've got a whole lot of things that don't work here. I'm kind of surprised to see it. That's really not the issue at this point, but I'm just letting you know that it will be an issue at some point if you're successful with your conditional use, and this is not going to work. So you'll have to do something different anyway, in my opinion.
Well, it sounds like you've sort of taken that into consideration already, recognizing some of the problems with it yourself as far as the flow for your practice, but yeah.
Yeah, for me, it's more the exterior flow that, you know, I envisioned, again, a one-way traffic.
Well, like I said, the question really for us is the use. If, you know, if you decide if the use is granted, you buy it, you decide to tear the whole thing down, that's your prerogative. Hopefully you won't have to do that.
I don't want to do that. I think the house is in great condition. The house itself
works for you. Well, if it works, don't
just
fix
that
it.
Shed, the outbuilding, I think really puts a hamper on it.
So. All right then. All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone else like to speak in favor? Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1902? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Mr. Robertson. Should we have held the record open to receive, we still want to receive that document, or was a doctor's testimony sufficient to cure? Because if we do, we're going to need to leave the record open.
Yeah,
which we didn't
know. Mr. Ross.
Ross is up to you. We're good.
Fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
very well. Clear. Thank you. Well, good enough. All right. Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1705, Joel Farr.
This is an application to amend comprehensive zoning map from AR1 Agriculture Residential District to a CR1 Commercial Residential District to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County. A parcel containing 3.03 acres, more or less, lying north of Route 20, also known as Road 382, 925 feet east of Road 388, also known as Deer Run Road. On this application, the commission has already been prepared or provided with an exhibit booklet, which was received on June 10th. For the benefit of the commission, I'm going to pass out a copy of the, hopefully the right site plan. We received several site plans on this one. Not, I'm sure we're coming. On June 16th of, that's a question from Mr. Robertson. On June 16th, we received a couple affidavits in support of the application. They were submitted by the applicant. Just affidavits from immediate neighbors saying they have no objection.
No, we usually accept those simply because they could have mailed them in directly.
And they also did provide, which they would have turned in as normal, to be inserted into the booklet, but you already had your copies. Proposed findings of fact. And that'll be it. We should be able to pass those down.
Yeah, because that usually gets presented during the hearing.
Okay. I'll pass down the findings of fact.
Staple.
The other statement. And as I stated, we did receive two additional letters in support. Remember, they're small, short ones anyway. They were to be inserted in the booklet, but you already had your booklet.
Oh, here.
Made it more difficult. I'll pass down to one. And I pass down the second. One is from Michael W. and Margo Townsend, and the second one is, I'm not sure. Not real clear. Is it Edward Townsend? I can't read the handwriting. It's not taped on, but we have both those.
Name two.
We have two agency comments, first one being from the Department of Transportation. It's dated April 6th of 2011, which also included an April 5, 2011 support facilities report. The support facilities report references Paul Center Road being 384. Present level of service D, and will not change as a result of this application, and a traffic impact study was not recommended. In the cover letter of April 6, 2011, they state that traffic warrants for requiring a traffic impact study as contained in Chapter 2 of our standards and regulations, or that the proposed development would generate more than 400 trips per day and more than 50 trips during any peak hour. It is their understanding that the applicant is willing to place deed restrictions on subject land such that if it is rezoned to CR1, then it would not be developed in such a manner as to generate more than 200 trips a day or more than 50 trips during any peak hour. If such deed restrictions are placed on subject land, we would not recommend that a traffic impact study be performed. Second comment is from the Sussex County Engineering Utility Planning Department. It's in the form of a memorandum, makes reference to this application, a possible restaurant mini storage. The site is located in the county operated and maintained sanitary sewer district, which is the Johnson Corner Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater capacity is available if the EDU assessment does not exceed 12 EDUs. Ordinance 38 construction is not required. The current system connection charge rate is $4,861 per EDU. Parcel is served with 1/6-inch lateral, which may not be adequate for the proposed use. An upgrade to an 8-inch lateral may be required. The cost of a lateral upgrade would be at the developer's responsibility. Conformity to the South Coast Area Planning Study 2005 update and a preliminary engineering report for the Johnson Corner Sanitary Sewer District will be required. And in additional comments, they state that the parcel is within the boundaries of the Johnson Corner Sanitary Sewer District. Connection to the system is mandatory. Sewer capacity can be assumed for a project that does not exceed 12 EDUs. The sewer planning and design assumption for the parcel allocated 4 EDUs per acre for residentially zoned parcels that are larger than 1 acre. The total EDU allocation is 12. Additional information must be provided before an EDU calculation can be made. The County Engineering Department opposes rezonings because of the potential for increased wastewater flow from commercial uses. The parcel is within the boundary of the Johnson Corner Sanitary Sewer District, which is currently under construction, and sewer service is expected to become available during summer of 2011. The county engineer must approve the connection point. A sewer concept plan must be reviewed and approved prior to any sewer construction. And they also provide a checklist for preparing concept plan drawings. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Byard.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. Good evening, gentlemen and Lauren. I will do my best to be brief. This is a straightforward, uncomplicated application. You may recall the recent rezoning of Twin Cedars. This is directly across the road. This application is consistent with the trend of development in this area, and with that said, I'd like to make one note for the record. The findings of fact were included in your project booklet. The only change was my mistake, and the new findings of fact reflect that change. The mistake was I thought the property was served by private well. It is not. It is served by Artesian Water Company. That's the one change. Okay. With that, I'd ask Ken Christenberry to come forward.
Good evening. Ken Christenberry with Axiom Engineering here in Georgetown.
Can you briefly describe your credentials? And I mean briefly.
I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of Delaware.
Can you describe the property in its present condition?
It's approximately 3 acres, as you said, located directly across from the Twin Cedars parking lot or the future development area. About a third of it's wooded. There is a portion of wetlands that has been delineated on the final site plan. The rest is uplands. There's an existing structure on there that has not been deemed during the PLUS review to have any historical value.